Aloha. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're coming to you from beautiful Waikiki Beach. Today, the swell, I look out my window right now, I see perfect south swells rolling in, a little bit overhead high surf, just a beautiful day in Hawaii, just showing off the majesty and the glory of the Lord. And I always look out this window and I think about my returning to the Catholic Church and how now I compare. I used to go down and sit on the beach every night with my iPad and read the Catechism, Aquinas, Augustine, all the great writers, Thomas More and others. And now here we are. and I look out right now and I see that if you look 3 miles out from my house, at that point, the ocean goes 3 miles deep. That's the nature of the Catholic Church. You kind of start out maybe a little bit in the shallow end, and then you realize just how deep the faith is. And then when you're in Hawaii, you're in the most remote place in the world. And when you get up high enough, on a volcano area of one of the islands, you can actually kind of see the curvature of the earth. And so I think of Catholic teaching like this, the breadth and the depth of Catholic teaching, so deep, so rich, so inspirational, but also so philosophically logical too. So we have a guest today with us, Eddie Trask. We're going to be talking about his return to the church. And talk about his new book on Thomas More, More Reasonable, I believe is the name of the book. Be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Zoop up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha. My wife always tells me to start our show off by making the sign of the cross in Hawaiian. Ake makua ke keiki a me ke ohana hemalele. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless our time with our guest, our returning guest, Eddie Trask. Eddie, how are things in Idaho right now?
Things are well, Bear. It's great to be back. I think it's been, 18 months for all I know, two years.
Yeah, a couple years, yeah.
Yeah, but Idaho is doing really well. Great growing Catholic community. I may have said that last when you were out here. It continues to grow, and it continues to amaze me how active the parishioners are.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Just going to Boise itself, it's right on the edge of the great farmland and then the beautiful mountains. It's right there. And getting to go and speak to the gala there. I hope I get invited back someday. Brian Howell there. Maybe it's all because of him. I think if you asked him, he'd probably agree.
Yeah, he did say, let's get Bear out of here.
Do you think maybe it's because I came there that, about 2 years ago that the faith is just growing so much? Or is it because you think?
I think so. Because some people will say bears will scare you away from an area, but in your case, it's what attracts everyone.
I know what it is. It's when my wife Cindy taught the hula, and we got Brian up there. But Eddie Trask, you are let's raise our St. Augustine Yeti cups.
Yes,
we have matching. Well, mine's a little bit different, but the same colors. Augustine Institute.
Just as fancy. Yeah.
But you are a student there, but also you work with the Augustine Institute. What do you do there?
I do. I run the Amen app, if you've not heard of the Amen app, and also Catholic Market, which is the e-commerce side of the apostolate. And I also oversee all the marketing campaigns. So we are a growing apostolate. We have a lot of various programs to promote, so I help with that as well. So between that and going to school there, I am fully consumed with things Augustine Institute.
Beautiful. I love it. Someday I got to talk to you guys about my school of manliness. I wonder if it would work good on your platform. That's for another time. But we're talking with Eddie Trask. I just really have enjoyed my getting to know Eddie over the last several years, and we had him on our show once before. Why don't we just get right into it? Before we talk about your book, comparing Thomas More and Martin Luther, which is really gritty conversation to have, talk to us again about your life journey, your with the Lord, and how you've returned to the church.
So, yeah, I was raised Catholic, and did everything that I was supposed to according to plan. and found myself as a college age student walking away from the faith very, very easily, let's say. So even though I was in Mass every Sunday, my parents, my dad actually converted to the faith when I was 10 or 11. We had been attending the church, so my parents were married in the church, and he had just been attending for whatever, 10 plus years. And he eventually went to a yard sale and found Story of a Soul by St. Therese, right? He found that book.
Isn't that interesting how that book written by a, 22-year-old girl,
yep,
young girl, would bring a gritty man like your dad?
The minute he closed it, he said, "That's it. I'm joining RCIA." And so that's what he told my mom. I thought it was really cool to hear that. I heard it. I wasn't in my teenage years or preteen years. I wasn't paying attention, I don't think, to anything. I have no idea where those years went. But I will say, to return to the faith, which I'll get to in a second, and then to hear my dad's story, how that book is, you know, you think about in terms of business, he would have experienced the Mass so many times and would have had all those impressions of the faith. But it was that book that caused the final, "That's it, I'm joining." And I just find it so inspiring. Anyway, through my college years, I ended up drinking, got into pornography. All of the vices that really developed outside of college, not to say they weren't active in high school, but they really developed in college. I brought that into my marriage, and that carried on for many years until one early fall morning. I'm walking in 2017, and I wrote a book about this. It's called Confession All. It's about my journey where God, the Holy Spirit, confronted me in that moment and told me, I felt it in my spirit. It wasn't not audible words, but, "You will confess to your wife." And I freaked out. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what sins, I buried my sins so deep, I didn't even know what could that possibly mean? So I continued to walk, and almost, I describe it in the book as trying to run away from that experience. It's something that's so remarkable. It could have only been the Holy Spirit. Well, less than 12 hours later, I'm on the couch confessing.
How when you first started to share it, must have, like, are these words going to come tumbling out, or?
They just came out. It was the most, I'd say that's the first wave of confessions. What happened, I'm very open about this, again, wrote it all in the book if anyone wants to see all the details. What happened was very sad and dysfunctional. I do wholeheartedly believe God used it for our good, but it was very scrupulous. So we were attending a Protestant church at the time. I'm not even thinking about going to a priest for reconciliation. I end up spilling my guts to my wife, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming, and I can't stop it. And so we went through hell, especially her having to take on what no wife should have to take on. You know, that's bad enough to know of betrayal. It's quite another to just keep digging up all these wounds. And as I've spoken about it with several people, the same theme comes up. They're like, "Well, and in fact, was she like your confessor?" And I said, in a really odd way, I guess that's what happened. But through that process, and it was a very long process, we continued going to our mega church, a non-denominational mega church, kind of maybe some Baptist and Pentecostal undertones, because every non-denominational church is going to have a base soteriology and theology. Well, we're going to this church, and my wife at the time, or through this process, she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which is crazy for a young woman. But she's going through this horrific stuff. And we are listening to a sermon from a guest speaker, And this woman is saying, if you want to be healed, you've got to have faith, of course. If you are in this audience and you are not healed, if you are battling anything, it's because you lack faith. God desires that everyone here be healed. And my wife looked at me, maybe not in the moment, but later on, she said, that woman just contradicted what our pastor said the week before, which was, hey, maybe there's a reason you're suffering at this moment. Maybe God's going to use it for something good. And so that dilemma, that contradiction, led, she just said, I don't even know if we can go there. And I said, I agree. Now that I understand what you're saying, I don't
We got to take a break, Eddie. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about just that dilemma that you experience in situations like that. We're talking with Eddie Trask. We just love this guy. I just see him as boots on the ground, man. He's on the front lines of our faith, and so glad to have you on our show. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Now you can journey with other men on the adventure of a lifetime, growing in manly virtue through Bear's Man Cave Community and our 3-year School of Manliness. Join at deepadventure.com. Better yet, you can lead your own sons through the same compelling video, audio, and written content. Can you imagine how much deeper your relationship with your dad could have been, and how much more you could have learned and pitfalls you might have avoided if your dad had a tool like this to help to draw you both into a deeper, life-changing discussion? Now you have a trigger that you can pull that will take you into gritty discussions with other men and with your sons at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I want to invite everyone, please, I work so hard on this book. This is my new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? My wife Cindy and I were driving along Diamond Head here at Waikiki, and she said, you got to listen to this song. And she turned up the radio, and it was Paula Cole singing Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And I talk about my experience in Boise, Idaho a couple of years ago, because I had started working on this book, and I got to be among some real cowboys out there. And there was this one older gentleman, gritty-looking guy, came up to my book signing area. And I looked up at him and go, are you a cowboy? And he goes, well, son, I've always worked on ranches. And his wife goes, he's a cowboy. And the next day we took a ride up, the Paiute Canyon there with about 60 bikers. I only wanted to take a few of us for a ride, and ended up 60 bikers showed up. And we rode up there, and this gentleman and his wife were the support truck. And I got to ask them, sit next to them when we took a break, and I asked her, are men today anything like the cowboys? And he goes, they're not anything like the cowboys. And she just left that hanging. It was like, I just remember as a kid, it just came right to my mind. My grandmother and grandfather in the Dakotas, they had a porch, they had screen porches, doors that would swing open, and I remember once it just kind of banging in the wind in that desert, that North Dakota prairie wind. She left it hanging like that, just left it banging in my mind. And that became this book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It uses the Louis L'Amour Westerns. I have 105 of his books right here. There's one right here.
My grandfather collected them.
Yep. Yeah, Eddie Trask, yeah. And because he always... The heroes, the cowboys, were always virtuous, and the women were always strong. So, this book is meant for men, for both men and women. But get to the bookstores, go to Amazon, go to our website, go to Sophia, go to all your Catholic bookstores. Find this book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Women should read it to understand what a man really needs to be. Great book to give to your sons, your brother-in-laws, women, and men. You should be reading this book to your sons, or women. If there's not a man in your home, read this book to your sons. We're talking with Eddie Trask. The book is basically based on his life. No, but you know what?
I knew I was the inspiration for it, Barry.
You know, I'm going to tell you, it was Brian Howell doing the hula. No, but you know, the thing is, I remember I went to a religious broadcasting convention. I forget the name of their actual group, Association of Religious Broadcasters. And it was like every booth I went to, you could tell had a different take on a different theology, you know, different basic theological differences. And when you go to, you know, I used to love to listen to Christian radio, you know, listen to the teachings, but I always had to have that sort of... that shield, that screen to screen out the bad and just try to discern the good. But yep. When you read the official teachings of the Catholic Church, when you read the Catechism, when you read Thérèse of Lisieux, here's this young girl that led your father to the Lord, who was lived behind a cloistered wall. And so you're at church, and one Sunday sermon, the next person that teaches totally contradicts the other one. And so your wife and you said you had a dilemma.
Well, here's the best part. The pastor, once again, this is so beautiful about a spouse, that she was discerning these things that I did not see. I mean, that I should have caught it. I didn't catch it, but she did. She saw that when the woman, the guest speaker, was contradicting the pastor, our pastor was standing and clapping for the message that contradicted what he said last week. Okay? So what I realized later on was when theology gets that loose, you don't know what you are affirming, and everything is just this nebulous, okay, let's just go with it. Someone is yelling at me. Someone is really amped up, super charismatic. They've got to have the truth in them. That's what happens. And so that's why I felt that, and I'm not dissing all like Protestant churches and those that pretend those churches. What I'm saying is, what was happening is we were so enthralled with the stage and the sermon that was going to be delivered.
The theatrics
that I wasn't even in a place to question whether or not what they were saying was true. But my wife had this incredible, healthy skepticism to say, where did she even get that message? Long story short, that led me to investigate, where the heck did non-denominational churches come from? Where did Baptist churches come from? Where did Pentecostal churches come from? And so this became a months-long journey to go upstream and learn the genesis of all these denominations. Why is there so much division and all this?
I want to say this as you continue your story.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that I went to Baylor University, which is a Southern Baptist university. I got grounded in scripture there, you know.
Yep.
But I did get some confusion, sola scriptura, sola fide, once saved, always saved there. But their love for the Bible and their love for Jesus is deep.
Yep.
And I served in non-denominational churches, and I understand the confusion there, but I want to say this. When you've been baptized in a Trinitarian baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you've given your life to the Lord. You've received the fullness of God because God cannot be bifurcated, right? I mean, you either have the Lord in your heart or you don't. And so we love and cherish our brothers and sisters. So what we're saying is they have the fullness of God, but not necessarily the fullness of faith.
Correct.
And this is where your testimony is going to lead us into your conversation about Thomas More compared to Martin Luther. But don't let me
interrupt
the path you're on. But we love our Protestant brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We have to stand together now more than ever. And we give them the dignity of having Jesus Christ in their hearts. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And I make that clear. Like, you can critique, you know, all I was doing was trying to learn, where did we come from? where what does this flow to? And I ended up in the early Reformation years and didn't at that moment. I couldn't see past, or I couldn't see before the Reformation. I could only see after the Reformation.
Yes, I had that same. It was just like a fog for anything prior to the Reformation. There was Jesus, and then there was the Reformation, right?
Exactly, exactly. So then my question to my wife was, well, maybe we should go to a Calvinist church, or maybe we should go to a Lutheran church. I don't know if I said Lutheran. It doesn't really matter. The point was the only options I could see were Protestant options. Mm. Well, God intervened again, similar to what he did when I told you I was walking and I was confronted to share my sins. The Holy Spirit showed up dramatically again on a night where I was sick and I was pleading with God to show me what I'm supposed to do to lead my family. And in that moment, I felt in my spirit, you need to research the Catholic Church. And for someone raised Catholic to hear, you need to research the Catholic Church, that was just so remarkable. But what it did was, when I woke up the next day, that barricade, I call it the Reformation wall. That's what I described.
Yeah, I get it totally.
It had started to crumble, so I could start to see early church for the first time in my life. I had no clue what apostolic succession was. I didn't even know magisterial teachings, the three-legged stool, the positive faith. None of that had been on my mind until the Holy Spirit intervened. So I then share that with my wife. She freaks out because she was raised Seventh-day Adventist. So all she knew was the non-denominational church we went to, and maybe a few visits to a Baptist, Pentecostal church, and of course, Seventh-day Adventism. And so she, not immediately, but soon thereafter, investigated herself to prove me wrong.
Mm.
6 months go by, our marriage is convalidated. We had three kids at the time. They were all
Baptized. What does convalidated mean for our audience?
That is basically making sure that the marriage is now a sacramental marriage in the Catholic Church, as opposed to how we were married previously, which was at a winery outside. So it's a way to make the marriage valid in the church's eyes, and to basically receive the grace.
In 6 months' time, you know, we got to take a break here in a moment, but I just remember, I have two volumes, a book called the Primitive Church. I'm looking at it right now. Of course, I have all the volumes behind me of the early church fathers, and Stephen Ray's book, Crossing the Tiber, which really introduced me to the early church fathers, and reading St. Athanasius, when he writes about the epiclesis, you know, when the host is sanctified, or the transubstantiation takes place, it's like, dude, the primitive church was a Catholic church. The way it practiced, what it believed, it's, you know. So you go back, but I remember I thought, like, okay, here's Jesus, and then the Bible fell out of the sky at some point, you know, so sola scriptura, and then there was the Reformation, and then, you know, I didn't know anything about the in-between. We're talking with Eddie Trask, who's a revert to the Catholic faith, and we're going to talk a little bit more about he and his wife returning to the faith, and then this great book of his comparing Thomas More to Martin Luther. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
This is Daniel LeBoon Markham with another episode of Country Up, Baked Beans. Baked beans, like a lot of things, aren't what they're made out to be, because baked beans aren't baked. They're stewed, sort of like a 10-gallon hat. It's a gallon. Things like wealth, lovers, and alcohol aren't what they're cut out to be, often lead down the road to the city of disappointment, even destruction. Some folks have found Jesus and church to be disappointing. Now, nigh on 50 years of ministry, I've learned a fair number of such folk are mostly those who came to Jesus under false conditions. The biggest false condition is no condition at all. Yeah, that's right. Just give your heart to Jesus and everything will be rosy. Now hold on there, partner. It's not like that for a long shot. Too many people continue coming to Jesus and church for what they can get rather than what they should give. Sure, give them your heart, but also your will, your obedience, your sweat and tears, and even blood if so called upon. Stand for something, brother, sister. He did say, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's good. Don't stop there. He went on to say, pick up your cross and follow me. Yep, we each got one. Cross, that is, if we're a true to heart and action follower of the Lord Jesus. Cross carrying can be a mite painful, even deadly at times. Some folks quit because the going gets tough. To which Jesus added, he who endures to the end will be saved. And enduring takes some doing. This is Daniel the Boone Markham at countryup.org on a journey a few miles this side of heaven.
We invite our mama bears to join with us at deepadventure.com. You'll have access to all of the Long Ride Home TV shows even before they air on EWTN, plus 3 years of the shareable Ocean Sunrise Daily Catechism videos, plus at deepadventure.com, a 20% discount at our online store with all of our great t-shirts and clothes and books and rosaries and medals and all kinds of accessories. You'll also get an autographed copy of Bear's latest book, and for a limited time, a Catholic biker stuffed teddy bear, all at deepadventure.com. Come on, Mama Bears, let's hear you roar. Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Woznik Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, oh no, he's up. Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Woznik Adventure. You guys, we have a really cool show. We've been filming it since 2016. Probably the most challenging thing I've ever done, going out on the road with a bunch of knuckle drakers, riding motorcycles, but actually seeing the Holy Spirit lead us as we rode. And we just released season 4, 11 episodes, all here in Hawaii, all filmed here in Hawaii. So you see the beauty and the uniqueness of the people and the beauty of the islands here, and as we ride together. So you can watch it on EWTN. If you become a member of the Mama Bears or the Man Cave at deepadventure.com, you get access to all 4 seasons of Long Ride Home, the YouTube version. It's what do they call it? A secret code that you can watch it on YouTube and share it with your friends. Or the new season, along with all the 3 prior seasons, it should all be up on Prime Video just about any moment. So join us and watch Long Ride Home with Bear Woznik. It's a great evangelistic, great way to share with your friends. You know, just have Long Ride Home showing on the big screen when they walk in, and they're going to be captivated. So many men have been converted by this. We're taken by surprise. They thought they were watching a motorcycle show. We start talking about Jesus, and then we start talking about the Catholic Church. So we have as our guest today Eddie Trask, very well-spoken, so able to do what St. Peter said, to be able to share the reason for our faith. And so this 6 months, I think you went too fast. How in a 6-month period of time, suddenly you find yourself in the church. Tell us about that.
Returning to the church. So once I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit to go research the church, a lot of the objections to the faith that I didn't realize I had, those started popping up, and then I would go research. Like, what's the answer to it? What is the source that I'm going to go to? Because a lot of people will say, oh, I investigated the Catholic Church. And it turns out it's the Whore of Babylon. And then you say, oh, what sources did you go to? Oh, I went mostly to Calvinistic resources from the 1600s. Okay, that's not going to give you the full story, clearly. So I did a lot of early church research. Justin Martyr was a big...
First apology. Did I mention Justin Martyr, or did I say...
I don't know if you did, but I remember...
I think I said Athanasius, but it was Justin Martyr who... Martyr. Yes,
he talks
absolutely.
About the order of the Mass in 155.
And he's saying that, knowing full well it probably is going to cost him his life. He's writing
Correct.
It to the emperor. So you
Correct.
Know he got it right, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm doing all this research, and pretty darn quickly, we're talking... I don't know, 6 weeks to 7 weeks of just
yes.
doing crazy
yeah.
research. I'm saying this is the church.
Yes.
What? And then I'm asking myself, where have I been? God, how can
yes.
you be so merciful to me?
Yes.
And my wife, she gets on her run and she's researching everything. And then she has some hang-ups. She's trying, like every Protestant will say, oh, and then I got to authority. I had to figure out what was going on there. Then I got to Marian dogma. What's going on there? Well, at one point, after, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months, that's when she said, you know what, I think I want to go to RCIA and do the inquiry phase.
Let's talk about the authority area. I have a really good friend of mine in Waco, Texas. I played high school football with him. He went on to become a college football player at Baylor. And we've been talking about this whole area of authority because he's a Southern Baptist married to a Catholic. And he says, who decides what's the real teaching? He said it's almost like everybody's their own pope. Each person gets to have their own religion. And he wanted to ask me about the authority. Can you just touch on that for a few minutes more?
Yeah. I can get in the shoes of my wife. She eventually said, okay, you just described to me, husband of mine, all these different Protestant denominations. Those are in conflict with each other. Not some are more dramatic than others, don't get me wrong, but all these denominations, they all have these claims to being, you know, God inspired, Holy Spirit inspired, the Bible is the sole rule of faith, Bible believing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Bible believing to her and to me became so subjective. Once we saw that phrase, Bible believing, what does that even mean? That means
right.
virtually nothing, because I could say I'm Bible believing and indulge in every type of vice known to man.
But think about Martin Luther and Zwingli, you know, they say, yeah, anybody can read the Bible and understand it and apply it to their lives. But within 2 years, they were like fighting over what the scripture said.
That's exactly right. But you get to this dilemma where you say, okay, that can't be right. But my goodness, what a leap, what a quantum leap to get from Protestantism to even Eastern Orthodoxy or Catholicism or Oriental Orthodoxy, whatever it is that you're investigating on the other side of that Reformation wall, it becomes very difficult. But then you get to Matthew 16 and you get to, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And I will give you, that's the key, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. That verse, I mean, you have Protestant apologists that will say, oh, it's on Peter's testimony. But again, if you read, just like if you read John 6, you read it without trying
to... Well, if you want to be Bible believing...
Believing, you right. have to read the context, read the whole thing, mm-hmm. and tell me that he is not... dramatically, unmistakably pointing out that Peter is going to bind and loose. Go ahead.
I was going to say that those are the same things that a king would do when he appointed a prime minister. He would
that's
give him
right.
the keys. And you
yeah.
think about that's that. And Jesus, you know, Jesus was a builder, technon. We don't know. He probably worked mostly in stone.
Yep.
And so it's so cool that he called Peter, you are Peter, you are rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. The only thing we know Jesus built was a church. We don't know anything else that he built, but he built a church. And I guarantee you he built it with a plan, and he built it with precision. And the first thing he did in beginning that church was to appoint authority in the church.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry,
exactly
I got...
right. Because you could see through the entirety of the Old Testament and obviously New Testament, the division, it's not as if hierarchy solves that issue, but to have, to quote Bishop Barron, the home plate umpire, that is crucial to be able to gather and have ecumenical councils that continue through time, that address the here and now.
But are still submitted to the Pope.
Correct.
Right.
You can't say, let's go back to the 7th century to get the entirety of our faith. No, it's living and breathing. And you can only have that with a structure that continues to affirm the pontiff. And when we get into my story, I'm working on a prequel to More Reasonable, which is
we're getting a little bit deep into the whole area of authority. I didn't mean to go, but it's not saying that the Pope is perfect by any means, right? The Pope, It's just that when he teaches with that from the ex cathedra, from the chair of Peter, then we know that that's the teaching of the church, and he can't say anything that's contrary to prior teaching. You can't make it up as you go along, and we have to be very careful. The councils are there, but we're not a counselor church. Where it's based on the magisterium of the church, the teaching of the church as affirmed by the Pope. But it's so essential, because otherwise, you just kind of have anarchy. You just have people have whatever they're their own religion.
Yeah, and so if someone doesn't like the idea of the Pope, then they will ascribe things like, oh, you're saying he's infallible always, or he's impeccable, and that's not the argument. It's a lot of straw men.
False arguments.
They go nowhere. Like, I thought we were talking about authority, and then you create this idea that every time he speaks, he's infallible, and then you create this idea that somehow we worship the Pope. Like, no, just read for yourself. Read the old documents, like we said about the early church fathers. Oh, my goodness. Just read about the authority of the bishop.
Well, you go back to St. Clement of Rome.
Yeah.
Was writing to the church of Corinth saying, Paul tried to talk to, I think it was Corinth. Yeah. Where he's trying to talk to them saying, Paul already talked to you about this, but he was writing as a father. And Clement was, I guess, was he the third from Peter?
Third. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was writing as a father.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Eddie Trask here, and the book we're going to dig into right now, when we come right back, is his book on, what is it called? More Reasonable.
More Reasonable.
And it's about comparing More to Martin Luther, Thomas More to Martin Luther. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak adventure.
People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won 4 different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to NotreDameFCU.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak adventure possible. When you go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel, you get access to all of our free playlists, including hundreds of episodes of the Bear Wozniak adventure, plus the 3-year journey through the whole catechism in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism series. And you even get short clips and live streaming of Bear and Cindy's Adventures in Paradise videos. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure channel.
Are you still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Aloha. Welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Now I know I have Eddie back a second time because we barely scratched the surface. Let's talk about this book, though, comparing Thomas More to Martin Luther.
Okay.
More is more reasonable.
More reasonable. So I wrote this for the Augustine Institute. It was last year's summer semester about the church and modernity, and we were able to choose a topic, any topic, that covered that was between the year 1450 and 1950. So it's a lot to choose from.
Mm.
But what hit me was during my research days, when I told you I was considering reverting to the church, in that time frame, I had devoured books about Martin Luther and others and had underlined the heck out of these books. Well, when the professor gave that assignment, I said, there's a thesis in one of those books. I know it. If I go back 2-3 years, however many years it had been, I was just frantically trying to find those books, and I did, and I found a thesis in there. And that was, you have two figures that are confronted with church corruption, they're confronted with confusion about doctrines, a number of similarities. Thomas More decided to be in step with the church, and certainly not, he wasn't going to put the king above the church.
Martin Luther. The King of England, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The King of England, thank you. Martin Luther saw the authority of church, but he said the church is not above scripture. So I was comparing how, when you look at Luther's life and the statements that he started to make, that he was driven by emotion, in frustration of what certain members of the church had been doing.
And the church needed renewal. We saw the great renewal did come too.
It did come.
You didn't have to leave the church to renew the church. The Holy Spirit's always bringing renewal.
Always bringing reform. It's constant. And that's what was so great about the Augustine Institute has a series called True Reformers. True Reformers. Those that were able to reform from within. So I say that Thomas More is from within. Luther became from without. So if you start to look at and inspect the way that he was speaking, I will not, I wanted to give you a few quotes. I wonder if I could.
It wasn't
just
that he put the Bible above the teaching of the church. He put his interpretation of the Bible.
Well, there's that. That's what I said. I said, in a word, this dilemma did not come down to scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, or the like, but rather personal interpretation alone. Because he was saying, I want to believe freely and be a slave to the authority of no one, whether council, university, or pope. I will confidently confess what appears to me to be true, whether it has been asserted by a Catholic or a heretic, whether it has been approved or reproved by a council. So I'm just trying to show that he's operating from an emotional vantage point, even though he had valid points about certain members doing certain things.
Absolutely, yeah.
And selling indulgences. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are many other things happening. But you can scan any period in church history or salvation history and find corrupt members.
Well, that's the miracle of the Catholic Church, that it's full of a bunch of human beings.
Yep.
And yet it's the longest ongoing institution in the world.
It's exactly
that's
right.
Jesus said, I will build my church.
And exactly. So Thomas More, he would have had reason to follow King Henry, let's say, right?
Yeah.
And be with him when he declared the act of supremacy. But he didn't. He said, I will be a loyal servant to the church. Luther was so frustrated with the members of the church, then he conflated those sins with the entirety of the church. But what's crazy about this, and we see it to this day, you're renouncing the church, but you're saying, no, I'm the true Catholic Church. You're my sect, my faction is the true Catholic Church. And then you say, well, are you in communion with the Pope? Oh, he's a heretic. Well, then what are you standing on? Like, this happens.
Well, he may well have been a heretic, too. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of villainous popes, but that's not the point. It's the authority.
That's not the point.
Right.
Exactly. It's whether or not you respect the office.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are contradicting the office and then saying that you are the true Catholic Church, well, you're just repeating history and you end up on an island by yourself or with a handful of people. or call it a lot of people, you know.
A non-denominational melee.
But this is what happens. This is what I want to show you. If you can see it on video, I'm holding up an image.
The fracturing of the
This is post-Reformation. All the denominations that stemmed from denominations that stemmed from denominations, and it shows very quickly after the Reformation that once people said scripture alone, that doesn't address authority whatsoever. And if you want, Bear, if you wanted to come up with your own theology,
well, it contradicts the Bible. It contradicts the Bible itself, because Paul wrote, he said, that which I've written to you and that which I've spoken to you, hold fast to these traditions. You know, so it contradicts the Bible itself. If you want to go, if you want to say sola scriptura.
No, that's a great point. So in a nutshell, I'm just comparing how they responded. And I was saying that Thomas More used reason, because all of us have to be confronted with that. You know, are we going to use our reason or are we going to use our emotion? And Luther, as frustrated as he was, he used emotion. And I seek to prove that with not just his quotes, but the results. When he's saying he is not about this pope, well, look around, Luther. The minute you're declaring he's this, that, or the other, you've got your peers that are going off forming their own theologies, and you're getting frustrated because you don't like how they're interpreting the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's, I try to make the point that in no way could we go back in time and say, this should have been prevented. It's done. It's 500 years over. What matters is for people to investigate it now and understand how illogical the results have been, and how I say overcorrection is a big part of it. Futility is a big part of it. What are we doing? We're trying to stifle all scandal as if that's going to work. We're trying to seek purity. Like, you can say the church, the bride is pure without saying that every member within it needs to be spotless perpetually. And so
there will come a time when that
there
will be.
Come a time. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. You know, I remember it just you know, people would say, well, I found the perfect, what church do you go to? Well, who's the pastor? That's not the point.
No.
The point is the Eucharist. You know, here in Hawaii, we had this tragedy in Maui. And my dad was a Catholic deacon there at the church called Maria Lanakila Church. I don't know if you're familiar with this church.
No.
It means Mary, Our Lady of Victory Church. And you think about the teaching of Jesus, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, this church, the whole town of Lahaina, we don't know how many people are lost. There's probably hundreds. They've only accounted for 115 or so. But the whole church, the whole town and the school next to the church were burned to, you don't think cement can burn, but I mean, all I can say is it's to the ground. But the Catholic Church stood, and they had mass there, right in the middle of all this dark gray. The Catholic Church, not the school, but just the church stood, and they had mass there the next week. Is the church a symbol of hope? No. The church, the body of Christ, the Eucharist there in the tabernacle, is hope itself. And so the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that Jesus is building. The problem is people will go, well, who's the pastor at your church? Oh, good. I'm going to go visit. I'm going to join that church. It's not about the pastor. It's about the Eucharist itself. It's not about the present pope. It's about the teaching of authority, the presence of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the sacramental nature of the church. My wife and I sail. That ship of Peter, that bark of Peter, it's the place for salvation. And although we have so many beautiful brothers and sisters that reject it, eventually they're going to get their lifeline from the, you know, it's so funny. I think people go, well, I would join the church, but my dad, I always promised him I wouldn't join the Catholic Church. Well, he's in heaven right now, probably, and he's looking at you and going, dude, join the Catholic Church. It's the real church. You know, we're talking with Eddie Trask. Eddie, how can they find your book, the title of it, and where can they find you?
Go to eddietrask.com. You'll see the booklet link on the homepage. And also, they can learn about that I do the YouTube channel, Catholic Recon, where I hear testimonies, weekly testimonies from reverts and converts.
Hey, have me on your show.
Catholic Recon.
Have me on your show. I know, but I want to talk about 12 rules of manliness again.
Let's do it
again.
But
it's okay. No, but I understand. But
Catholic, let's do it again.
Catholic, what is it called?
Catholic Recon.
Catholic Recon. Available on all the podcast apps. The name of the book is?
Yep.
And the diocese used this book. Your diocese used this book, right?
Yeah. So when I talk about the link, it goes to the local Catholic bookstore. They're selling it there. Want to support them? More reasonable. Yep.
Eddie Trask. And and if they want to find you, how do they find you?
They can just go to the website, everything there, eddietrask.com.
Eddietrask.com, E-D-D-I-E, T-R-A-S-K. Great to have you on our show, Eddie. No, but if there's room on your show, I would love to be on it again, but I don't want to bump into there. But
are you kidding me? I if you want to talk about that, and I know that we always have different tangents we can go down, so let's
Well, if you send me an email and you invite me, I would love to do that. The book's coming out right now, so that'd be great.
Excellent.
Eddie, thanks for joining us on our show. Say hi to everybody there when you go into Boise again. Tell them how much we love them.
All right. Thanks, okay. Bear.
Okay,
God bless
brother.
You.
Ahui ho. Right. Aloha. Till next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.